Let's go down to the river. Pray. Sinners, fathers, mothers, let's go down. And this morning, as we turn to Acts chapter 8, there is a man who is going from Jerusalem, and he thinks he is heading home, but he's actually heading to the water. It is a moment that God orchestrates with such care and such love, and ends up giving us this story of incredible joy that we can hardly imagine it. Philip is this man that we first meet when he's handing out bread to the widows, and soon we find that he is down in Samaria, and he is bringing the message of Jesus probably to the woman at the well and the people that learned about Jesus from her and then learned about Jesus for themselves. And he is a one through whom God has worked powerful wonders and miracles, and one who was annoyed by Simon in a terrible way. And now he is minding his own business when an angel of the Lord comes and says, "I want you to go and walk a desert road. When you go out of Jerusalem south down to Gaza, you're heading down through Philistine country, where names like Ekron and Beth Shemesh and those kinds of places are known. It's rough country." And as Philip goes down that road, not knowing what he'll find, he finds a chariot, a four-wheeled cart, maybe like an ox cart. It's big enough to have a driver probably, and to hold a couple of folks, and a rather large scroll. This eunuch had been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and it was an incomplete pilgrimage, because a eunuch is an incomplete man. A man who is equipped to do state business without temptation, but a man who would not have been able to have participated in the great and most holy of Jewish rites because of his mutilation in the light of the Jewish law. But he was a man of such heart and such faith that he would travel from what is now southern Egypt. He would travel all that way just to be close, just to be near, just to see the temple, just to hear the music, just to be with the faithful. And as he's riding home, we get a glimpse into the fact that he is rich. Perhaps he is doing something for the brethren, his fellow Jews in Ethiopia. When you are up in Jerusalem and you are there for the feast, would you mind picking up a scroll and bringing it back for the synagogue? Would you mind bringing that back? Whatever it is, he has his own scroll. This is better than an 8-track. In those days, early days, in fact the days before the printing press, to read silently was ill-mannered. You always read out loud. He may not be reading it himself. He may have someone reading it for him. But anyway, as Philip is nudged by the Spirit of God toward this man, the sound around the chariot is the chariot moving down the dirt road, and the sounds of Isaiah in the song of the servant. When Philip comes up to the chariot, he says to this man, "How you doing in there with that text? Do you understand?" And the man says, "No. How many of us are regular Bible readers and sometimes don't have a clue what the words say? We're just going to read it. Yeah, well, there are times like that, aren't there? Wouldn't it be great if somebody sent by the Spirit of God would just show up by your bedside table and say, "How you doing with that? How you doing? Would you like to know more about that? I could help you with that." You would say, "Why don't you come up here and sit down with me?" And it couldn't be a better place. This isn't just this man reading wisdom out of Proverbs, something like the man who speaks loudly to his neighbor in the morning will be thought to be cursing. That's one of the Psalms. That might be a tough place to get to Jesus from. I don't know. Probably Philip could have gotten to Jesus from anywhere in the Old Testament. But it's not hard to get to Jesus from here. The eunuch doesn't know that he's heading for water, down to the water to pray. But when Isaiah wrote this years and years and years ago, and we find it in Isaiah 53, it was going to be a verse that caused many people to find the water. Because this is the story of the suffering servant, the one who takes our afflictions, the iniquity of us all is placed on him. He is the one who is like a sheep led to the slaughter and is like a lamb being sheared, and the lamb doesn't want to move because the lamb thinks things could get worse. And he's silent and he's mocked and he never gets a fair trial, and now he is taken from the earth. And the eunuch says, "Is this Isaiah? Or is this someone else?" It's not Isaiah. The story of Isaiah is that he was hated by some and found himself hiding from those folks in the hollow of a tree, and they killed him by sawing the tree and Isaiah in half. It's not Isaiah. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Saying that Jesus came into the world to live a life in which He would become the sin bearer. He would become the pain bearer. He would become the rebuke bearer. He would become the one who is willing to bear whatever it is that comes into your life because of what is wrong and not Godward about your life. He says, that's what Jesus came to do. He begins to talk about Jesus. I don't know where all that goes. This had to be a sermon somewhat like that sermon that Jesus gave the two along the road to Emmaus. You know that story in Luke 24 where the men are going along on the way to Emmaus and they don't know who Jesus is. But Jesus begins with the scriptures in the Old Testament and talks about himself all the way through the Old Testament. Maybe that lesson through the Old Testament that Jesus gave on the road to Emmaus formed the innards of Peter's sermon and the knowledge of the early church and even what you studied in class this morning in Acts chapter 13 when Paul preached in Antioch of Pisidia. There's a core in there that says Jesus came to fulfill all the promises of God. He came to you and the people of this generation rejected Him. And He went to the cross, but He was not sent to the cross. He went to the cross as a willing sacrifice for our sins. And now the one who is the victim of the greatest crime in all of history turns from the greatest crime in all of history to offer the greatest blessing that man and woman could possibly imagine. That out of that great crime would come a great gift. And somewhere along the road to Gaza, the Ethiopian hears a word that says, Jesus died for you. Really? Philip has had an interesting duty, hasn't he? He got to move the gospel out to Samaria and Judea. And now, by talking to this dark-skinned man from the south of Egypt, he gets to go to the ends of the earth in the Jewish world and tell a man from the ends of the earth and from the greatest distance imaginable for some, as the covenant of Abraham stretches out to tell that man, Christ died for you. And as they go down the road, they come to water. That is an amazing thing south of Jerusalem. Here's water. Now somewhere, I guess, in what Philip told him, he told him something about the water. Something about this is what happens on Pentecost. There were 3,000 people baptized there in Jerusalem. Maybe he had been in Jerusalem and had heard about the water on Pentecost. But his plea is, why can't I be baptized? This question is amazing for some of us who have taught people about Jesus. Because we have often thought it's our job to tell people and argue with people, argue them into their baptism. I need to argue you into the water. I need to argue you into your baptism. I need to convince you. This is not Philip's word. It's not Philip's word. Here's water. Why don't you want to be baptized about now? It's not Philip's word. The eunuch's word. It's a man who knows Jesus and loves Jesus suddenly more than he had ever imagined he could love anyone. And now he wants to stop the chariot. And now he sees the water. And now he wants to be in the water. And now he wants to be baptized. And his passion to go down to the water is what stops the chariot. So they go. They go down in the water. And Philip baptizos him. He buries him in that water. And when they got up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord takes Philip on down the road. And that was the last the eunuch saw of him. But he went home happy. Happy. I think it's interesting how he went home happy. Listen to this from Isaiah. Because two great prophecies were fulfilled that day. One, that Jesus would be the Savior and the one who is the sin bearer. But the other is what blessing God would bring to the foreigner and to the eunuch. Let no foreigners who have bound themselves to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from His people. Let no eunuch complain, I'm only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them, To them, I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. This faithful foreigner, this faithful eunuch, finds himself now with a name better than any human son or daughter. Now he is a son of the kingdom of God. Now he is one washed in the blood of Jesus. Now his imperfections that he found in his Jewish faith have been overwhelmed by his salvation in Christ. And you've been seeing this cross. I've been feeding this to you for the last 3 weeks. The cross in the back, the golden one, is the cross over the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. The one before it, the one that is welded iron, is the church, the Coptic church, that is built right next to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This is the church that claims its heritage back to the eunuch. Don't know. But when you go in their chapel, the priest will come out with a Bible in the shape of a cross, and he will open it, and as you sit there, he will read to you the story that we have just read. And celebrate behind, under that old brown cross, a story of faith that goes back 2,000 years. He went on his way rejoicing. This morning, if you're not in Christ, I hope you're in your chariot. If you're not in Christ, I hope you're in your chariot, and I hope somewhere in your chariot you're having an opportunity to read the Word of the Lord. And if as you read the Word of the Lord, you would like for someone to come along beside you and talk about that Word, we would love to be about that. We'd love that. Perhaps you've been in your chariot and you've been there with the Word of the Lord, and the Word of the Lord has become clear to you. And now you would love to go down to the river to pray. This is a day in which we, without any fear, leave ourselves open for your request to be baptized. For you to say to us, is there water? Could we go to the water? And there connect my life with the Lord of heaven and earth, who has come to offer by His body and blood the sacrifice for my life. Could we go to the water? It could be that day for all of us who may know the Word and the water. It's a good day for us to remember what God has done. Let's stand and sing together. When we